Bam!
Good morning. It's morning office hours. I'm attorney Vince Davis. I'm licensed to practice here in California, and I'm an expert at CPS cases. This morning, we're going to talk about Welfare and Institutions Code, Section 366.26, N as in Nancy. If you want to read it, Google 366.26, N, and it will come up. This Welfare and Institutions Code is used by parents, by families, and by foster parents to make sure that a child is not removed from them and given to someone else, like a strange foster parent. Let me give you an example. Back in the day, there was always an argument about who would decide where the child would remain pending the permanent placement process. And a lot of times a child was placed with, say, a friendly relative or a family friend or even a foster parent. And the social worker would decide that, well, I want to move the child, and ends up moving the child to some other placement. So there was a big thing in California about who gets to make that decision, the juvenile judge or the social worker. And the rule that came down from some appellate cases was that the social worker would have discretion to decide where the child was placed. However, that discretion wasn't unfettered, and if it was unreasonable, the judge could change it. Now, a lot of social workers take the position that that's the rule throughout the case, and it's not. Before the 366.26 hearing, the judge is the final decision maker of all of where the child can be placed. Now, the legislature in California decided, you know, we're going to have to make a rule and try to change this so that there won't be so many court battles about the placement of a child after the 366.26 hearing. And they decided and came up with 366.26N, which allows caretakers, and remember, if you have a friendly relative where your child is placed, you don't want this child moved because they're going to facilitate perhaps visitation and the relationship, even if the recommendation goes through for adoption. So now the caretaker has to be notified and given the opportunity to come to court to prove to the judge that the child should not be removed. I get a lot of calls where the social worker says we're moving the child or has moved the child, and no one gave them notice of 366.26N. So let me tell you a quick story about how powerful this statute is. I did a case once where the child was with, I believe they were relatives, and the social worker wanted to move the child to place the child in another foster home. We filed the request for hearing, and in that case, the social worker hadn't notified my clients. My clients just called me and said, hey, is there anything we can do? And I said, yeah, there is. You can have a hearing pursuant to 366.26N. N is a Nancy. So we filed the paperwork. The court gave us the hearing, and the social worker's attorney, the social worker, and the minor's attorney were all against me and my client. They wanted the child moved, even though the child had lived there for, I think it was 4 or 5 years. Basically, the only parents the child knew for the last 4 or 5 years. We had the hearing, and an interesting thing happened during the hearing. While I was cross-examining the social worker, because my clients had told me, hey, a lot of the stuff in the report about us is false. And this applies to any case. So watch this. I'm cross-examining the social worker, and she gives me an answer. And she says, blah, blah, blah. And I said to her, I said, well, who was around when you said blah, blah, blah? Did anybody witness this? And she said, yeah. She named two people, two co-workers. At the time, I just had this gut-level feeling that she was lying. But there was nothing I could do to prove it. Well, we finished the case, we finished the witnesses, we did closing arguments. And, you know, during this entire trial, the judge is taking copious notes. And The judge says, hey, I'm going to take the weekend to decide. I'll let you know by mail my decision. Now I'm thinking, well, I've lost this case. All right. I've lost. Well, on Monday or Tuesday of the next week, the judge's clerk calls me up and says, hey, the judge wants to have a meeting with you and the other two attorneys on the case. And I'm thinking, he does, I'm thinking to myself, he doesn't have, we don't have to have a meeting. You can just send me the decision. I don't need to hear in person, that I've lost this case. But anyway, I go down and the judge, we go in the judge's chambers and he says, look, counsel, I have a problem with this case. And he says, the problem is that I think that the social worker is lying about some key facts. And I'm thinking, that's what I'm thinking. He says, but I'm going to give the social worker and the county the opportunity to call those two witnesses that Mr. Davis elicited on cross-examination, and I want to see if they back up their story. So he says to all counsel, he says, well, do you guys agree to this? And I'm like, no, Judge, you've already found that she's not telling the truth. We've closed off the case. We've stopped witnesses. We've given our closing arguments. Please make a decision, and I'm thinking, based on the fact that you think the social worker is lying. Well, it didn't work. He allowed the two workers to come in, and I thought, well, those workers will come in and testify, that the social worker was telling the truth. Anyway, about a week goes by, we have the continued trial, and the two social workers come in. And he says to me, Mr. Davis, they're your witnesses. And I'm thinking, they're not my witnesses. You already decided the social worker is lying. Why would I, and why in the world would I try to call a witness that's going to make you change your mind? Anyway, after discussion, I had to call the witness and question the witness first. And I asked the witness point blank, were you there when social worker Miss XYZ said, blah, blah, blah. And she didn't answer the question. She went off on some tangent. And I listened to her and I just watched her, and the judge was listening to her and watching her. And then I asked her the question again. She goes off on another tangent. And I could see the judge, it appeared to me that he was getting a little irritated with the social worker because she wouldn't answer my question. Finally, I said, Judge, I'd like to get an order from you directing the witness to answer my question. She's not answering it. There was objection and a lot of argument from the social worker's attorney and the minor's attorney who was against me. And the judge said, she's not answering his question. Ma'am, I direct you to answer his question. And so I asked it a third time, were you there when social worker said XYZ? And she took a, like, she sat back and like, it was, well, there's nothing else I can do. I have to tell the truth. No, I wasn't there. It never happened. Never happened. Then what happens is I call the second worker. And before I can get the second worker on the stand and sworn in, he says, it's not true. It never happened. And the judge says, wait a minute, let Mr. Davis ask you the question. So I asked the question. He says, no, it's not true. That never happened. And so I said, well, she's not being honest with us. If she told us it did, he said, absolutely. Something to that effect. Anyway, the judge made the decision. Of course, ruled in our favor because now we have a social worker who's not telling the truth on the witness stand. Excuse me. And it's confirmed by two, not one, but two of her colleagues. We win. Now, if you commit tell a lie on the stand, that's called a perjury. Okay, you can be criminally prosecuted for that. Do you think the social worker was criminally prosecuted for lying to the judge? Nope. Not only that, do you think she lost her job? Nope. Not only that, she insisted on staying on the case to finish it up. I was outraged by this, and The case closed before I could take any effective action or get any effective results. My clients rode, happily into the sunset. But here's an interesting thing that happened. On that day, when the two social workers confirmed that the one social worker was not telling the truth, we're walking out of the building, kind of celebrating, we won a case. And as I walk out the door, the county council, the social worker's attorney, comes running out of the gate, out of the door. "Vince, Vince, Vince, can I talk to you?" I said, "Sure." So, I'm trying to be gracious and be professional, and we step to the side, and he goes, "Look." He goes, "I know you're going to sue these people, but I want you to know that I didn't have anything to do with this." I said, "Okay." And I appreciate it. We shook hands and, we left. The moral of the story is when you have the opportunity to cross-examine a social worker about her report, be it a 366.26 in hearing, be it a jurisdictional hearing, be it a dispositional hearing, be it a 6-month hearing, always, in my opinion, unless the social worker is telling the truth and you know that it's the truth, cross-examine the social worker. A lot of times you're going to find, get results that you didn't know you were going to get. The problem is that many of you do not cross-examine the social worker. I was in a court, I'm not on a courtroom, but on a Zoom call, and I watched them have a trial where the attorneys just argued. And then the social worker won. Kids remained out of the home. But my thinking is that anytime you have an argument, 99% of the time, and you don't present any evidence on your side, you're going to lose. You're going to lose just legally. The reason is because social worker reports are considered evidence. They're admitted at the beginning of every case. So there, you start with evidence against you. Now, if you argue, excuse me, if your attorney just argues, by law in California, attorney arguments are not evidence. So what happens is you have the social worker report on one side, and then you have your attorney's argument on the other, and there's no evidence for you. None whatsoever. So 99% of the time, in my opinion, you're going to lose. So always cross-examine the social worker and present other evidence. Remember, the social worker turned in a big fat report. You've turned in nothing. So if you expect to win, make sure you have some witnesses and some documents and some pictures and some videos so that you can build a case and show the court that what the social worker is saying isn't true. All right? Now, if it's true, then there's nothing you can do. All right? If it's true. But many times people come to me, and I'd say 8 or 9 times out of 10, "Mr. Davis, this isn't true." And after talking to them, I kind of size it up, for myself after 31 years as an attorney. And almost always, if someone tells me it's not true, I believe it. They're my client. I believe that they would not lie to me. All right. So you're probably watching this video because you have a CPS case or you know someone that does have a CPS case. Check out my resources, fightchildprotectiveservices.com, my website, fightchildprotectiveservices.com, or check me out on YouTube. Just type in my name at the YouTube search bar and you'll come up with videos that you can watch that may help you, or at least may help you start a conversation with your lawyer in terms of trying to win your case and get your children back. You can also give me a call because I answer questions like these every day at 888-888-6582, 888-888-6582. Look, I want everyone to have a good day, and we'll see you this evening on the office hours.